Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back
down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going up to New York. Now, you know, I have talked a lot on this show about the theories that the district attorney in Manhattan and the attorney general of the state and the United States District Court for the Southern District U.S. attorney could consider in prosecuting Donald Trump. Well, yesterday there was some movement in that regard. The DA, the Manhattan DA, so he's state, not federal, state, is intensifying an investigation into a property of Trump and his handling of it and his valuing it. And here, in a nutshell, is what it is. It's called Seven Springs. That's the name of the development. The DA has issued more subpoenas and is homing in on what occurred. And here are the facts. You decide. 213 acres. Trump bought it for $7.5 million. And then in a financial statement to the bank, he said it was worth $291 million. $7.5 became $291 million. It hadn't been developed, and it fell apart. It went nowhere. Now, he did that because he wanted to show assets to the bank to get a line of credit and get loans. You can't just walk into a bank with your pockets hanging out, say, I'd like a couple hundred million dollars. Oh, really? Okay, well, what's your security? What's your collateral? My word is my bond. Well, that does not work. You see, that does not work. Banks are federally insured. They're federally insured. Back in the 1930s, start of the Depression, actually the very tail end of the 20s, there were runs on banks. They weren't insured. And everybody thought, you know, I don't need my money right now, but if I don't go get it, my neighbor's going to get his. When I go there, there'll be nothing. They all lined up all over the place, and the banks started to go under. Roosevelt came in. Thank God he was elected. He put a stop to it. He had a bank holiday. Nobody could get anything. And they put the full faith and credit of the U.S. government behind the deposits. And that's persisted ever since. And they passed a thing called the Glass-Steagall Act, which basically said that, okay, banks, we're insuring your deposits, but you can't go to the casino with this money and speculate on very risky securities and then stick your hand out and want more money when you lose. And they said, okay. Back in the 90s, they got Congress, the Republicans did, to repeal Glass-Steagall. They all started to gamble on derivatives, and they all had to be bailed out again. And that's, you got Dodd-Frank and a lot of other bills that are trying to put some restraints in, but you can't insure banks and then say, go to the casino and gamble. And if you win, great, and you get big fees. And if you lose, you stick your hand out in the text. But no, can't have that. Can't have that. Anyway, that's a current fight. But back to the DA. So the fact is that in a financial statement, you have to sign it. And you have to sign it that certifies that it is true and that subject to the penalties of law, which are equivalent of perjury. It's false swearing. It's submitting a fraudulent document to a federally insured bank to get money is a felony. It's a felony. You know, I knew an individual, a very highly placed individual, had been a law professor, put in a statement to a bank to get financing that essentially kind of double represented inventory, and he went to prison. This is not a thing about Trump. This is not a thing about Republican or Democrat. The fact of the matter is that when you have federally insured banks, you can't have people pulling this. So that's what's being investigated right now. Why did he say he bought it for $7.5 million and he said it was worth $291 million, even though it hadn't been developed, and it ultimately crashed, went under? What was his basis for saying that? And he's the guy. It's him. Now, you might say, and I might say, quite frankly, what kind of dumb banker is that? Because he has to disclose what he bought it for. So he bought it for $7.5 million, and now he's saying it's $291 million. and hadn't been developed yet. So that banker is in on it. Well, let me tell you something. When you say in on it, it's a little more disturbing than that. I think with a lot of bankers, they want to make the loan. You know, the interest on a $291 million loan is substantial. Their loan portfolio looks good. They want to be repaid. Guy walks in and he's Donald Trump, Fred Trump's son. He's been a developer for a long time. You know, he's built a lot of big properties in Manhattan. Obviously, this $291 million is aspirational. In other words, he bought it for $7.5 million. Hasn't been developed yet, but Donald Trump can certainly develop this. And when he does and he sells components of it, could be up there. So I'm cool. And then anyway, the banker thinks, even if the thing goes south, this is Donald Trump. He's good for it. He'll come up with it. Just because this collateral goes south, our debt is not specific to that collateral. He owes it. The company owes it. He personally owes it. Well, that really does go on. Some bankers, and it's not a question of are they crooked or are they not, they make judgments. And now it's a lot less the case, because remember, after the meltdown in 08, the derivative meltdown, people would make loans for mortgages to people that had no jobs. One case out in California, they loaned somebody $800,000 to buy a house. He had no job. And they just put it down that he could repay, because they assumed he could. Because in the market out there, if he went under, they get the collateral and they could probably sell it for the 800. Well, suddenly the music stopped, musical chairs, and people looked around. Not everybody had a chair. Not everybody had a chair. So now with Donald Trump, it's a different story. I don't know if he repaid the amount or not, whatever amount he drew on that. It wasn't $291 million. That's what he said it was worth. It was less than that. But he signed a financial document to a federally insured bank saying that something was worth something and it wasn't worth that. That is a felony. So you stand by and watch the DA, Cy Vance, in Manhattan, take this to the hoop, okay? One of the problems is that the Wokerati out there, the identity politics crowd, has squeezed out Cy Vance. He's up for re-election again in the fall, and there are 8 people running against him, and they think he's, well, too old school. He's honest. He knows what he's doing. Therefore, he's too old school. Of the 8 Wokerati who are running, I'm sure some of them are competent, but the truth of the matter is whoever wins is going to have to put up with a firestorm of abuse from Trump, threats, lying in the right-wing press, and so forth. It's going to take a lot of guts and experience. And I don't want to see one of them wither away. So that is the downside. Cy Vance better get as much. He had better get as much work in as he can this year, because if he's not on the ballot, it looks right now like he's not running for re-election. Election's in November. And the new one will take over shortly after that. He had better get down to business. He'd better get down to business. Okay. Another bill is pending in the House of Representatives. Labor rights. It's a great bill. Labor rights, supported by the Democrats here in Wisconsin. It does a lot of things. It eliminates right to work laws in 27 states. It clarifies who's an independent contractor, so employers can't do wage theft and somehow say, well, this guy's an independent contractor. So Uber drivers and Lyft drivers would no longer be independent contractors. But this thing, that abuse is applied to other employees. And it would outlaw retribution and firing for anybody who wanted to start a union. That already was supposed to be the law. Republicans chipped away at it. And there's a lot of other things in this bill. It passed the House 225-206. 5 Republicans joined the Democrats because they are in purple districts, a lot of labor unions, and they're not stupid. Going to the Senate, They're going to filibuster it, so it needs 60 votes. You're not going to get 10 senators. That's why I said at the beginning of this show, we have got to get rid of it. We already have gotten rid of the filibuster for budget, Supreme Court justices, and Court of Appeals justices. The budget issue was back in the 70s. Moscow Mitch rammed through Supreme Court justices and Court of Appeals justices, and now he's crying foul. No. We've got to repeal it. You do it one by one. You say we'll repeal it for civil rights and voting cases, for labor cases. That's all. Everything else, fine. That's cool. That's cool. That's cool, except for budget, Supreme Court, of course, and Court of Appeals. Throw in labor, voting rights, civil rights. And then we pass this. And we would pass SB1. It's already passed HR1 on voting. A lot of other things. You know, spending, should we spend this much on bridges there and all that? If somebody feels real strongly about it, remember, we control the Appropriations Committee. If they start screwing around on that, you know, Neil, Representative Neil, Massachusetts, calls the Republican and says, Jack, you're not getting any bridge in your district, Jack. You're not getting any concrete. You're getting squat. Do you understand me? Now, knock it off. Here's the composite bill. Everybody gets something. You are not going to go after Democratic states again. We're never going to let you do that. Do you understand that? Neil's a good guy. He's a tough guy. He will absolutely do that. So that kind of stuff's fine. Everybody can sit around. They can go into Neil and Pelosi and say, look, I need one more bridge in my, I mean, for God's sake, you know, the bridge is out and people need it to get to work. That's cool. That's cool. But not in budget and not in labor and not in voting rights and civil rights. This is not difficult. Why not just, it's already been picked off, picked by the buzzards came down and picked some meat off already. There, it's already eliminated for budget, Supreme Court and Court of Appeals. Why not voting rights? Why not civil rights? Why not labor rights? That's it. That would be great. That would get a lot of our, the people's agenda passed. Okay, we're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I